Well, what can I say? This morning, this whole time, we're going to have some fellowship in the book of Revelation. I think many of us have read it many times, of course. But our purpose is not to gain more knowledge about the book of Revelation.
Right.
But to let the Lord touch our heart. Whatever the Spirit wants to do within us, to help us make it to the kingdom.
Amen.
Trust in Him. Because none of us can do it. Can you make it to the kingdom by yourself? Right. Just like what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said, blessed is he who called you. He will also do it.
Amen.
None of us can make it. I don't care how much we know about the Bible. It's not a matter of knowing the Scriptures. It's a matter of gaining Christ in our daily living. We can know so much. Right? What's the use? Even if you know the whole Bible, it's not the knowledge. It'll make us puff up. That's what Paul says. It might even kill you. Because it says the letter kills. But it's the Spirit that gives life. So we're not here just for a knowledge. I'm not saying that it's not good. But remember, it's not the knowledge. Remember about the Pharisees and the scribes. They know the Scriptures. Right? And remember what the Lord said in John chapter 5 to the scribes and the Pharisees. You search the Scriptures. Well, the Lord didn't say it was wrong. Right? But what else did he say? It's very good. You search the Scriptures. Continue searching. What did he say? But you will not come to me that you may have life. So that means that life is not just knowing the Scriptures. Right. But daily coming to Him to gain the reality and the substance of life. Right. Because if we know the Bible and we don't keep it, we don't do according to the Word, we will gain more stripes. Sometimes it's even better not to know than to know and not to do it. Remember, the Lord warned us in Luke chapter 12, I believe, right? That a servant who knew the Word of God, who knew the will of God, the Father, and didn't do it, he's going to get what? More stripes, more beating than the ones who didn't know it. So we all need to have the fear of the Lord. To serve Him not only acceptable with reverence, but also with godly fear. Right. It is important. God is very real. Of course, everybody expects Him to come. Don't you want the Lord to come? King James? His last name is King, right? Wang, right? King, a good king. And his name is James. So you're the new King James. Just to know is not enough. Right. But to know Him. Paul did not say he wants to know more about the Bible. In Philippians, he says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And everybody knows He rose again, right? Do you believe Jesus rose again? Of course. But what about knowing the power of his resurrection in your daily living?
That I have to experience more. I don't know it that much.
You see, to know that he rose again, everybody believes. Mm-hmm. Right? Up from the grave he arose. We all sang that. But Paul didn't say, I want to know that he rose again. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Because in our daily living, in the flesh, there's death. That's why we are weak. We couldn't follow the Lord. We couldn't do what we're supposed to do. Why? Because death works within us. That's why you have Romans 8. And Romans 7, death, not just sin, but death. Everybody knows about sin, but not too many people know about death. So what is worse, sin or death? Vince, what do you think?
Death is worse.
Death is worse. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, I'm sinful. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Right. So Paul says, the Spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us to do what? To give life to this mortal body. Now the doctrine. It's another doctrine. We know so much, right? But we don't know him. Tell the Lord, I don't want to just know the doctrine. I want to know you. To know the Lord, to come to him to get life. It's another message that's going to give life. We talk so much about life, life and this and life and that. But where is the reality of life? It depends on you. Right? Not the knowledge. Remember, Paul warned us. Knowledge puffs up. But he says, love builds up. And this love is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, don't expect to get a lot of knowledge about the book of Revelation, because this is really not the burden of the Lord. You already know the book of Revelation. What it John tells us, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Yeah. Oop, I'm in chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 1. Yeah. Yeah. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things that must shortly take place. So it's not the doctrine. Do you want to know the Lord's coming? Are you expecting him to come? So you just sit there and expect him to come? No. You have to prepare to be ready. In Revelation chapter 19, the first half says, what? The bride has been waiting for the Lord to come.
Made herself ready.
What? By doctrine? How was the bride made ready? By the wedding garment. And the wedding garment of the knowledge.
The righteous
acts of the saints. It's not how much you know. It's the righteousness, how you live. Everybody says, Christ is my righteousness, but then we don't live according to Christ. Right. Paul said, very simple, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's the person of our Lord Jesus Christ who dwells in you. Right. So the way to be prepared for the Lord's return is to live Christ. Very simple. Not to know the Bible. You may know the Bible, but to live Christ is another story. So, we want to know that the Lord is coming very soon. Why? If you know exam is coming very soon, you're a student, right? What do you do if you know that the exam is coming soon? You say, ah, hallelujah, examination is coming soon. You just sit there and wait. Say hi to the professor. Oh, you better study day and night, especially when it's next week. You're going to take the exam. Right, James? Right. Stay up and study. If you want to pass, if you want to make it, everybody, well, so happy about the wedding feast, but nobody's prepared. Especially the bride is not prepared. And how do you prepare? By that wedding garment, the linen, pure, bright, to pursue holiness. Not only to pursue, but what it Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Perfect holiness in the fear of God. Because there is a judgment seat of Christ when he comes. And Paul said what?
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
No, the love of the Lord.
The terror.
The love. Knowing the terror. When is the terror going to come? The judgment seat of Christ. Will you be happy to see the judge? You have to go see the judge. Before the judge, you must have done something, right? Otherwise, you won't be seeing the judge. I haven't seen anyone yet who is so happy to see the judge. Nobody's happy to see the judge. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When is it going to happen? When he comes.
John said he's happy to see the judge.
Oh. Oh. That's good. Are you happy to see the judge?
Not me.
Oh, no.
John said it.
Nobody will really be happy to see the judge. Especially if you know you're not ready. If you know you've done so many things, offending, breaking the law, still lawless to see the judge. Right? But if you see the judge in the wedding, then that's another story. But if you see the judge sitting on the judgment seat, and you will have to give an account of your life, you'll be happy? How about you, sister? You'll be scared to death. That's why Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord. He learned to behave himself, to do the things that are pleasing to God. Yeah. Right. So, when the Lord comes, there's judgment. But for us today, judgment begins now. Better now, not later. If you're judged today, you and I, Mo, if we are judged today, then we will be happy to see the judge when he comes, because we are already judged. Because today there is a chance to repent. But in that day, it's too late to repent. You have to repay, not to repent. Repay. Would you prefer to repay later or to repent today?
Repent now.
To repent now. I want to repent now. Right? Because he's coming. And why is it that the Lord wants to let us know? It's not just generally, but things which must shortly take place. So what's going to take place? Do you want to know? No. Not just the judgment, to know when he's coming. The Lord will not just come all of a sudden without telling you. Can you imagine? Just before the great flood at the time of Noah, at the last moment, the Lord warns, no, I'm coming, flood is coming. You think Noah is prepared? What would you tell God if you were Noah? Why didn't you tell me earlier? Right? I would have told God, you should have told me earlier. Well, the Lord told Noah very early. Enough time for him to prepare the ark. It's not easy to prepare the ark. And you know how big the ark is? Bigger than a football field, right? It's amazing. You need time to prepare. Right. And then 7 days before the first drop of rain came down, the Lord told Noah, now get all the animals in. And God helped him. Because how are you going to get so many animals in 7 days? You think all the animals will listen to Noah? They will listen to God. And then after everybody is in, God shut the door. You remember shut the door? Where was it written again? God shut the door and people came in too late. That's in Matthew 25. So when the door is shut, sorry, you won't be able to go in. The Lord would tell you, who are you? That's not good news. So things which must shortly take place. Now, what must shortly take place? What are we seeing today? So, remember, the Lord wants us to know things which must shortly take place. Don't say, I don't care. Okay, it's up to you. Whether you care or you don't care, you make your choice. And he even sent and signified it to his servant John by his angel. Now, in verse 2, it says, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many know the word of God, but have no testimony. What's the use of knowing so much knowledge in the Bible, but you don't live it, you don't have testimony? In the Word, especially John, I appreciate John. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Is that good enough? So if everybody knows the Word, isn't it good enough? If it is good enough, the Lord didn't have to send His Son Jesus Christ to come. And when Jesus Christ came, what was the reason of His coming? To express the glory of God, to let people know who this God is and how He looks like and what kind of a life He lives, expressed through human being, through a man. The church, Paul wrote, is the mystery of godliness. What did he define, and how did he define godliness?
God
is spoken manifest in the doctrine, in the doctrine, in the teaching, in the knowledge. But this is what we're doing. We're just telling people about doctrine, explanation of the Bible, interpretation, what it means. And everybody was so happy. Oh, I've never seen this before. I didn't know that before. So what if you know? Do you have the testimony of Jesus as a man? Just to know the Word of God is definitely not adequate. I know a lot of people who knew the Word of God. Don't you know the Word of God? Maybe not everything, right? But do you have to know everything? But do you live what you have known? Do you live it out? Do you have a living testimony of the Word of God? So two things the book of Revelation emphasizes concerning those who are believers. They know the Word of God, who have the Word of God, and who have the testimony of Jesus. Praise the Lord. These two must go side by side. Otherwise, you just have the left hand and no right hand. It's not good. Do you want to just walk with one leg? See with only one eye? No, you need both. Remember this. John was in the island of Patmos because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Not to have the Word without testimony. And how can you have the right testimony without the Word? Then it's your own testimony. It's testimony of yourself. That is not good. The testimony of Jesus. Because Jesus lived on this earth expressing the glory of God. That's why in John chapter 1... it says, and no one has ever seen God, except who? Jesus. He came from the bosom of the Father, becoming a man on this earth to do what? To preach? To express the glory of God. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality and truth. That's the problem with us Christians. We have the Word, but no testimony. What can we say? That's why this Word is important. John, who bore witness to the Word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus. I love these two words. The word and the testimony. Remember these two must always go together. Okay? Two legs. Otherwise you'll be hopping and definitely you will fall. Right. Our Christian life will not be steady if we don't have these two together. If we don't have the testimony of Jesus, many times we put God to shame. That's why people say, why should I believe? Your life is just like me. You live just like me. So why should I be saved? Right. Who bore witness. Praise the Lord. It's easy to teach and give a message. But it's not easy to bear witness. Right. To all the things that he saw. So blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and that's good enough. Keep reading and keep listening. That's what we are all doing. Reading and listening, and that's it. No? So which one is more important? All three are important. Blessed is he who reads. Read the Word of God, especially young people. I encourage you all to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Right. You have read so many books. But this is the book of books. It's called the book. If you read so many books written by men, you don't read the Word of God, you are missing everything. This is why you believe everything that people say, everything that you think. They are scientists. They are philosophers. They wrote so many things according to their concept. You came from the monkeys. And you say, amen. Yes. Oh, you believe everything. Isaiah, you came from the monkeys. I'm glad you know that. Even Charles Darwin repented at his deathbed, but that's a bit too late. And those who followed him will not repent. Amen. So read the Word of God. If Genesis chapter 1 is true, then all those philosophers talking about millions of years. Did God need millions of years to make light? What did he do? That's impossible. Try it. Say, let there be light, and to see if it's going to be light. Have you ever tried it?
No. I'm not God.
That's why you don't understand. Now, what verse teach you how to understand in the Bible? Good, Timo. That's why I always ask Timo to help me. By faith we know that all things that are made is made out of nothing. God doesn't need anything to create. He spoke it into being. Yeah, you remember the Lord Jesus talk about the fig tree? What did he say about a fig tree?
He cursed it.
He cursed it. And what happened?
It withered.
10,000 years later.
Immediately.
Come on. Can you do that?
No.
So why do you believe that the Lord really did that?
By faith. He did it.
At that time, Peter, even if he didn't have the faith, he was so surprised it happened. And he was thinking in his heart, how did he do it? And the Lord knew he was thinking like that. How did the Lord knew? Oh, no. I mean, how did the Lord know? But that Peter observed and realized that and had that question. So God told him, if you have the faith of God, so that not faith in God only, but a faith of God, because that faith came from God. That's why Peter says, we have received equally precious faith we receive from God. God gave that faith to you. Otherwise, how can we have that kind of a faith? So we walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Right? So, but faith comes from hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God. That's what Paul says in Romans, right? Chapter 10. How are they going to believe if they have not heard the Word? And how are they going to hear if Vince doesn't speak? So, these are very precious word. Blessed are those who read. When I was a kid, I read a lot of comics, but it didn't help me a bit. I'm glad they all got lost, those comics. Didn't make me a Superman. But the Word of God is living. The Lord says, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's living. It's powerful. It's operative. It's like a sharp two-edged sword that pierces through into your heart. And it works. And it exposes our real and true condition. So, read the Word every day, okay? Right? And meditate on it. Remember Psalm 1. Right? Meditate on the Word. Even if you don't have the Bible in front of you, but it's written in your heart, kept it in your mind, and you can meditate on the Word of God, like chewing the cud. You're a spiritual cow. Chewing the cud. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Right. This is the first psalm. Amen. Then, if you do that, you will also have the strength to keep it. Without the Word and chewing on it, meditate on it, you will not have the strength. So it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words. Praise the Lord. Don't say, I already know. Don't talk to me about it anymore. No, don't have that attitude. The Word, the hearing of the Word has a deeper impression many times not only reading, but hearing. You know, we, the human beings, God created us in a very wonderful thing. You can see, and what you see, you forget easily. No, you'll be dreaming about it at night. And what you hear, have you ever heard a music that you like? And what does it do to you? You have a tape recorder within you. And it's just replay, even you can't even stop it, right? Stop, stop. No. You cannot unplug it. So be careful what you're hearing and listening. The first tape recorder is created by God. You have a built-in, everything built-in, just like your phone, your camera, whatever you see, it's in there. It influences you. Don't think it doesn't. Right? And then it comes out of your mouth. Then you talk about it. That's why we talk a lot of nonsense. Because we are filled with junk. Yep. Blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. Now, these words are written by John, the apostle, 2,000 years ago. And at that time, the Lord told him, the time is near. Do you think it was near at that time that the Lord is going to return? They were expecting, they hope the Lord will come. In fact, that's one of the questions they ask the Lord. When are you coming? What did the Lord tell you? Oh, I'm coming soon. No, the Lord didn't tell them that. What did the Lord say? I don't know. Only the Father knows. Can you imagine if the Lord told the disciples, no, it's going to be 2,000 years later. They would say, what? Then you will never read in the Bible concerning the second coming of Christ. Well, if you ask your parents, when are you going to visit me? Oh, 10 years later. Are you going to expect and get ready for your parents to come anytime? Can you imagine the Lord told Peter and the disciples, oh, 2,000 years later? If you were there, what would be your reaction? Go back fishing. You're absolutely right. And even buy a bigger boat. Hire more people. Catch more fish. Enlarge your business. Right? Well, that's right. But the Lord told them, no, only the Father knows. But in the book of Revelation, because he really is coming soon. That's why this is the last book of the Bible. It is specially written for us today. Because we are living at a time of the Lord's second coming. All right. So, let us take a break here, okay? And we will fellowship a little bit in the second meeting concerning the things that are about to take place. Amen. How about that? Amen. Or you don't care?
No,
you want to know. Okay. Let's take a little break, huh? All right.